Meditation is probably one of the greatest things you can add to your life in regards to reducing stress, possibly even increasing your lifespan, decreasing a lot of stress-related and anxiety-related and depression-related instances and manifestations that we experience in life. But one of the things that I always talk to clients and I'm taking them through and teaching them various forms of meditation is, what are your expectations? Because this is hugely important. Too many people will start a meditation program because they want to find bliss, nirvana. They want to become enlightened. They want to become awakened, right? And that's the goal of many programs. And many teachers will teach this to you, saying the goal of this program, when you meditate long enough and you go deep enough and hard enough and everything else, is that it's going to be bliss. It's going to be nirvana. All suffering ends. You live in this incredible state of light. And while that may happen to people every once in a while, I personally have not met anyone who's ever reached that state of consistent nirvana, bliss. And I've worked with some of the greatest gurus in the world, but I've still never met anyone who's always constantly in that state. Even the Dalai Lama, when I interviewed someone that had done a book with him, was a co-author of a book, said that there are places in his mind where he can get extremely angry. The Dalai Lama getting angry? So, of course, that means that he's not in a constant state of nirvana or bliss. And my question is going to be, is that the real goal? Is that what we should be shooting for? You know, Thich Nhat Hanh says, one of the most amazing Buddhist teachers in the world who passed away not long ago, said that, you know, we're never going to avoid suffering, no matter how high you go in your meditation process. Now, listen, this is one of the greatest Buddhist teachers of all time saying, you know, those individuals that do meditation simply to reach nirvana, non-suffering, no struggle, no problems, it just doesn't happen in the human world. I found that fascinating. You know, I found that just incredible. And so from his teachings and the Dalai Lama and Lama Surya Das and Ram Das and all of these other people I've worked with, you know, it's kind of like we've got to slow it down a little bit. And so I was working with a client. I love this story. And I have several clients in my spiritual program right now. And there's this one guy who really wanted this awakening. He wanted that enlightenment. He wanted to be able to, and he told me, he said, I know this is part of my small ego, David, but, you know, I want people to recognize massive changes in me. I want them to look at me and see this incredible calmness and this incredible focus all of the time. I want to live in nirvana. I want to live in bliss. I want to be awakened, enlightened. And so he was going after it from more of a title point of view. He wanted people to respect him. He wanted people to look up to him. That really, to me anyway, I'm not the only person that teaches these things. I'm not the only person that talks about them. But to me, that seemed a little unrealistic, you know, and a little ego-driven, small ego-driven. There's two. There's a big ego and a small ego. The small ego-driven person will do that so he can tell people he's awakened, tell people he's enlightened. So as we're going through the course and I'm teaching him different things, I said to him one day, hey, you know, instead of wanting to only focus on your awakening, enlightenment, nirvana, and bliss, I want you to look at the last 30 days. Now, we've been working together for several months. I want you to look at the last 30 days and see, are you reacting differently to stressful circumstances? Are you reacting differently to certain stressful people in your life? Are you reacting differently to your financial situation? And I started to ask him all these questions about his own personal reactions to things that I knew stressed him before because we'd worked together for a couple months. And he hesitated. And he said, you know, now that you ask that, David, I used to have all kinds of road rage. And now I find myself in the busiest traffic in the world, in one of the busiest cities I live in the world. And I'm relaxed. And when there's a traffic jam, I don't get upset. I don't even call people and take time on the phone. He said, I just sit and I do my breathing. He said, if I can, I do my meditation with open eyes because traffic isn't moving. He said, so yeah, now that you ask that, yeah, I mean, my approach to traffic has totally changed. I said, is there anything else? And he goes, I guess my wife. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, she's very different than me. You know, she's this really go-getter, early morning person. She loves to get up super early. It used to irritate me, you know, that she'd be up and gone before I'm basically even having my second cup of coffee. Like, I wanted to spend time with her in the morning. He said, then something shifted a couple weeks ago, and I started appreciating the fact that she takes time for herself in the morning, that she's gone early to the gym. She looks great. I mean, her body looks great, and she's always in a good mood. So I started to notice that, and I actually complimented her. Well, as you can imagine, as the conversation went on, he started coming up with more and more. The last thing I'll tell you was just brilliant. He said, here I am running late for a meeting, and of course I start to get stressed, and I immediately remember what you told me. when you get stressed, do diaphragmatic breathing in the car. That means you breathe with your belly. Belly breathing, it's called, versus your chest breathing, shallow. He said, so I start doing my belly breathing and I calm down immediately. And I'm going to be 20 minutes late. And I look ahead and there's a light that's turning green. I know it's going to turn green in a second. I can feel it. It turns green. I go through that one. He said, David, the next three lights, all four lights in a row were green and I made the meeting on time. If you didn't ask me that question, I wouldn't have realized that my calmness in traffic was a huge change and the end result was powerful. So I bring these stories to you because I want you to think about why we do things. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh tells a story about if you want to have a picture with the Buddha, so you fly to France and you're standing next to Buddha and you've got your picture and you come back. Is that the real reason to meet the Buddha? Is to come and show your friends that you've met the Buddha? Or should you have spent that time maybe asking him deep life-changing questions? Like, it's a great question. Thich Nhat Hanh is just mind-blowing to me. So anyway, let's think a little deeper. Let's do it. And maybe the end result will be bliss for you. Maybe it'll be awakening. Maybe it'll be enlightenment, all those things. I don't know. I've been doing this for 40 years and I haven't reached it. It doesn't mean I won't. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll surprise myself and 2 years or 30 years down the road, I'll feel awakened, enlightened. But until then, I'm going to enjoy the relaxation from meditation. I'm going to enjoy the ability to be less reactive, to be more emotionally regulated, which are some of the greatest benefits of meditation. I'm going to enjoy more my spiritual connection to the divine, to the all-powerful. Some people use the word God, others everlasting light. I feel a deeper connection in my spiritual path by being involved with my meditation than I did any other time. Now, I also read. I also do a lot of introspection. I have two teachers in the world of spirituality that I work with. You know, so I'm putting the work in, but I'm also acknowledging just the beauty of the calmness that happens with a regular meditation practice. Whatever your goal is great, but let's not make it so big and so incredible that we might get discouraged and stop because we haven't found that enlightenment yet. Listen, if I can help you at all, we work with people from all over the world, go to talkdavid.com. In the end of February, February 20th, as a matter of fact, we've got a mental health online retreat that's going to be mind-blowing. It's going to be so much fun. So go to talkdavid.com, sign up and join us for the mental health retreat. We're going to be talking about all kinds of cool things, including spirituality. Or go to talkdavid.com, sign up. Let's work together. We can make some major changes, okay? Have a beautiful day. Bye now.